Seminole Headlines is brought to you by Register Sausage, serving the Florida Panhandle and Lower Alabama for over 75 years. To find a store near you or to buy directly from Registers, head to registermeats.com. That's registermeats.com.
It's time for Seminole Headlines, featuring WarChant.com's Jeff Cameron, Managing Editor Ira Schofel, and Senior Writer Corey Clark. Your weekly dose of all things FSU, pistols, and pies starts right now. Here's Jeff Cameron.
Hour number two, headliner questions forthcoming. Great to be with you. Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio and WarChant TV. Don't forget, if you are watching on WarChant TV, to like and subscribe. Helps others find the program and helps us in our endeavors. This hour brought to you by our friends at Birch Orthodontics. Yay, Birch.
Braces.
That's right. Yay, braces. It's the time. The countdown clock is on for my youngest. He's not happy about it, but soon.
It's coming.
Yeah, it's going to happen. He'll
it's
be
coming,
in
Clark.
After the, in the new year, he'll be fitted for the braces, and we'll be moving on. But I know, thankfully, that through the experience of his older brother, that good things are happening.
You should do it like in recruiting. Like in recruiting, when a kid from a high school signs at a school, and then a younger player from that same high school gets recruited by that school, and they'll, like, they host him on their visit.
Host him on their visit.
Bryce,
could host Clark on the visit.
Talk him through it. Like, tell him what, you know, what Dr. Birch is really like and what the staff is like. And you
the
know,
chairs. Show him where the chairs are.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, wasn't it you who wanted to point out the beautiful women?
Yes.
Well, I'd heard about them. I haven't seen them. That was secondhand from Stephanie.
But like BirchOrthodontics.com is their website, and they do tremendous work. All of our kids have gone there, and yours should as well. They do orthodontic work for all ages. There's the braces, which we all like to celebrate, but also Invisalign and other orthodontic work as well. BirchOrthodontics.com is the website.
Mary writes and asks the first question, and we love Mary. She's awesome, and she has been a loyal listener and follower of all things the three of us have done.
Yay, Mary.
Mary is right. Yeah, she's awesome. What is the greatest Christmas you have had as adults? Thanks for staying on the Florida State roller coaster with me. And since Christmas is the time to say I love you, Billy Squire, I will. I love you guys. I never miss an episode. Merry Christmas from me and Charlie. Well, Merry Christmas, Mary. And we appreciate your support very much.
We really do.
We mean that from the bottom of our hearts. Greatest Christmas you've had
as an adult?
Yeah. Well, that's usually when your kids are like wowed by something you got them and you can see.
Nah,
it's real.
Nobody cares about that. Yeah. I'm trying to think of a gift for me or something that happened to me. Yeah. I can't right now.
I think we got them when they were really little. We got them.
Can we get it together over there?
Sorry. Yeah. I mean,
we're worried about you.
I'm starting to catch it, I think.
Let's keep it together.
When our kids were little, we ended up getting, we were so broke, just like most young parents are, and we ended up figuring out a way to get Disney World season passes, like annual passes. And so springing them on them for Christmas, that was so it wasn't the gift that we got, but just as an adult, that was the best Christmas. I mean, it was probably the best Christmas I've ever had because just seeing them, we saw a video of them like just jumping up and down.
Oh, it's
so
the
cool.
greatest thing.
I got my answer. I figured it out. So it was when on Christmas we wrapped presents for my dad and my mom, and they were ultrasounds of Brady when he was in.
Oh, well.
And what was great, it was really nice. They didn't understand it at first, and then my sister understood it immediately, and then my mom's like, what is, and then they all got excited.
It's a baby.
It's a baby. It's coming.
It's
coming
into the house.
But what was cool, well, you know, when she was pregnant with us, they didn't even have ultrasounds back then. They
just
knocked on your belly and said,
it looks
kick.
Like you're pregnant.
Moms would just be walking in the store and the baby
just
pops
comes out.
You're getting fat, Mom. What's going on?
But the best part was that was our gift. Like, we didn't have to go buy anything.
No,
we didn't have to go to the store, think about what we were going to buy my dad. It's just like, well, this will work. Meanwhile, Kelly's spending whatever she's spending trying to figure out something.
Hey,
I was
have
just
a
like,
kid.
Yeah, Kelly. Have a kid. Yeah, dogs don't cut it.
I think for us, I don't know why, but Bryce loved what's the train? Thomas the Train. That we bought one of those massive Thomas the Train tracks with the whole board that they used to have in bookstores and all that.
Oh,
he
like silver spoons. Over
he
here.
Thought that thing was the greatest thing ever. And so I remember when we got that, and Clark was a little baby at that time, so I have something different for him. But I remember when he opened that, and it was, I mean, we had it covered up, and the whole thing, the look on his face was sheer joy. And I remember we filmed that as well, and I've gone back and looked at it before. Because something about the second you realize it as a kid. Because when I was a kid, for me, the greatest gift I ever got, I always wanted this black mongoose, black and yellow mongoose BMX bike.
Mm.
And when I got it, I remember being overjoyed. So
I want to say something, but if you have kids in the car that are under, say, 10, we're about to have a Santa conversation. So turn it down for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
You've got 30. You've got 5 seconds to turn it down.
You don't have 30 seconds at all.
Yeah, but turn it down now because we're having a Santa conversation. But for that, the present you were talking about with the train, who was it from?
Okay, so I brought this up yesterday on the show. My wife and I, and maybe it's just because I'm a selfish a-hole.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
My I don't think it makes you selfish at all.
Well, my wife would say, you know, obviously the presents from Santa are unwrapped because Santa just drops them off and he goes about his business. So then I would say, well, what kind of credit are we giving Santa over here? This thing was from me.
And you put it together.
And that PS4 came from mom and dad. Santa didn't drop off nothing. Yeah, so
that's the one thing Shannon and I did was we would do Santa gifts, but they were for like two or three smaller gifts. But the big stuff were from the
parents.
Santa
got you socks.
Yeah.
What do you want me to do?
Anyway, all right, turn it back up now. Well, I guess they couldn't know. We're done with the Santa conversation, everyone.
Merry Christmas to you and all your headliners, writes Walter. Do any of your 12-year-old kids have the moxie of Charlie Woods? Stone cold killer off the tee.
Wow.
Putts like Ben Crenshaw. Dude is set for a lifetime.
He's going to be...
You guys are going to talk and this amongst yourselves.
He's, all right, go for it, Jeff.
That kid is, I mean, unbelievably talented, but you got to think other kids are not going to love Charlie Woods, right? Like, he's not going to have a lot of friends.
I think people... He might have some genuine friends. I was going to say, they're probably not genuine friends.
But, man, that kid's got... He's got 25-year-old Tiger Woods swagger at 12.
Like, yes, he does, but it's also like, man, now he's done this on the national stage. You want to talk about people... heaping expectations on this kid. What are the odds he even ever makes the tour? Like,
I think 30%? Probably pretty good now.
Yeah, but you don't know how his, you know, at 16, is he going to start smoking weed and
Let's
dating?
Hope so. He's going to need a break.
He's going to need to be calm. But it also is interesting, too, because there's no way that Tiger, I was thinking about this, there's no way Tiger's throwing down bags in his golf swing and telling him he sucks and rattling keys when he's putting. And he still looks like a pretty good 12-year-old.
Yeah.
So maybe Earl Woods' strategy wasn't the only way to build a really good 12-year-old golfer.
There's a lot. There's going to be a lot going on there, but he's been phenomenal.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy how good he was. He was the better of the two.
Well, I mean, Tiger's coming off a catastrophic near-death.
Still, I don't need excuses.
Get it together, Tiger. You're one leg.
Your 12-year-old kid is carrying you.
Yeah, so I would note that that's something Trey and I talk about when we do, you know, Beyond the Tips on SiriusXM. Trey talks about all the time when he is recruiting players. And of course, he recruited Brooks Koepka and Daniel Berger and all these guys. And I said, what about any of these guys are you looking for? He goes, well, it's not their swing. Because people think we're always looking at technical aspects of one swing. By the time we see you as a recruit, you've already won amateur tournaments. You've already been very successful. You have figured out how to repeat a swing. I'm not going to mess with your swing. Your swing is your swing. What I want to know is how do you handle adversity and how do you handle pressure? Because that is going to get ratcheted up the further you go along. Like, what's on the line now when you have to it's not just you.
Right.
Like, if you play poorly, you just affected your teammates in the university. Yeah. And he said, the ones that have confidence in the midst of all of that to stand over a shot and hit it no matter what. Well, that's what Charlie, watching that, does. It freaks me out. Like, how could you walk out there? Your dad is who he is. Cameras, TV cameras, other pro players, crowds everywhere. You're his age, and you're smoking a 5-wood off the deck 240 yards to within 3 feet. That's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see, though.
Like, you can't teach that. He's got that now.
Let's see if he becomes like has the Capriotti experience, where he gets really famous really quickly and kind of devolves and then bounces back, or if he's just great his whole life.
Stevens writes, with the announcement that Growth House has entered the transfer portal, how much will it hurt that we're losing our most sure tackler on kickoff coverage?
That's a big loss. That's a big loss.
It's a toughie.
The Grow Dog.
Happy holidays, gents, writes David. FSU has a top 15 class, which is great, all things considered. But with the limitations of budget, the ACC, and just looking at how exponentially better the top three classes are this year, should fans rethink their expectations for the next few years? Is the ceiling more like Beamer's Virginia Tech teams back in the day, being basically top 25, but not a top 5 team? I actually kind of think that's a fair point.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, for the next 3 years, for sure. Two years, for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know if you could say that. Like, that's just FSU's lot in life from now on.
Yeah. I mean, think about, like...
Temporarily, though.
I mean, Cincinnati's in the playoff. Cincinnati got there. They don't have finances. They don't have a recruiting base that Florida State has. I know they don't play the I mean, it's not like the ACC's great shakes.
If you hit on a quarterback, it can change.
Right. Everything. So I don't think you should just limit your ceiling to this is the best we can do. You could get a great quarterback and have a great run, and then you're in the playoff. I mean, it would be really, really surprising. But I think he's talking about for years down the line.
Yeah,
I think maybe in 2 years, Florida State, especially if they expand the darn thing to 12 like they should, Florida State could be on the cusp of being a playoff contender in 2 years.
What I think is disappointing for...
Especially the way football is now. They might have Travis Hunter next year.
Well, it's fair. The other part that's disappointing, I think, for fans from that day wasn't just losing Travis Hunter, not signing a receiver. It was also the fact that you had some ins with a couple of big-time players that you thought you might be able to get, Marvin Jones Jr. being the biggest of all. And so if you're sitting there thinking, okay, if we can't keep Marvin Jones Jr. from going to Alabama, how is Florida State going to keep any of those types of guys from going to Alabama?
I wish you hadn't brought it up.
Sorry.
I was trying not to think about
it. Hey, you know what? We got Marvin Jones Sr. You got to watch Marvin Jones Sr., mm-hmm. and that was a better time anyway.
You also might get Marvin Jones Jr. next year, too. That's he and Travis Hunter might be on his way.
Yeah. He might realize he doesn't like athletes.
That is the thing, man. Remember, there were stories. Remember, we did the book for signing day. We talked about it.
I've got an autographed copy.
There was one of my kids was like, hey, there's still one on Amazon. But anyway. When you back in the day, like college recruiters would kind of be assholes to kids.
Hey, easy killer.
What's the matter with
Good
you?
Good Lord, everybody!
Sorry. Happy holidays
to kids. Sure.
When they decommit or flip at the last second, or something like that,
because they knew it was over.
Well, now, man, you got to keep that relationship.
Yeah, man. Norvell's tweeting something out at 12:30. Yeah. Like, let's celebrate all these choices. It's like, you don't want to come.
Remember what a special time this is. Yeah. These young men.
Like, man, he might be in the portal 9 months from now.
Jason writes, I think Rivals has Julian Armella as a top 20 recruit. ESPN has him at 170th. What could be a reason for such a huge disparity?
There are a few of those, but he's definitely one of them. There have been varying opinions about Julian Armella from the very beginning about whether or not he's
and from credible people on and this is weird. Yeah. Normally, you'll have sort of a consensus, or you'll have people with real viability in the industry say, "Well, look, if you want to argue if he's the seventh best tackle or the second best tackle, we can have that argument." This is a player that smart people who have been doing a good job in this for a long time have really differing opinions about. I find that odd.
It is. I think part of it is the way he plays. He's lost a lot of weight, but for a long time he just relied on his size.
Sheer size.
And he's got some nastiness to him, so he would like drive guys into the ground after a play.
That plays well on film, but it doesn't work in college because the other guy's going
to
be as big as
exactly. So there's some stuff like that. But to the overall point that Corey made earlier, he's not going to be the guy that's probably going to contribute for a couple years anyway. The key is, I think the biggest thing is he did help from a steam standpoint on signing day.
It helped.
Yeah. It helped. Yeah. Whatever he ends up becoming. It's always a crapshoot with offensive linemen anyway. The fact that you got a 5-star after what happened that day, I think it was worth it, even if he doesn't pan out.
Jeffrey writes, and this is a credit to you, Ira. I may have missed some of these interviews, I guess. I'm going to have to hear what you have to say here. Initially, I wanted to be upset about the whole Hunter flip. However, after listening to some of Ira's interviews in the last few weeks, I realized we dodged a bullet. It sounds like he may have been the second coming of Corey Mangum.
He's like Ralph/Mangum.
Yeah, I was trying to play it up for you, Jeffrey. I played it up for
I tried to tell y'all. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Chris writes, first guessing, not second guessing, the decision to not challenge JT by bringing in the best possible transfer quarterback is the wrong one. And when combined with how bad Norvell boned the QB decisions last year to start, I have some concerns about him. Well, last year, obviously, there were some interesting scenarios that led to the decisions they made to start the year. We were not allowed to specifically talk about a lot of what went on in camp at that position. Had we been able to...
Health availability and injuries.
We can now, though, right? Like, McKenzie's gone and the season's over. Yeah, he wasn't out there for 2 weeks.
Well, there were guys...
Jordan missed time, too.
Jordan missed time, too. But, man... There were long stretches of time where both of them missed, and that was a less than ideal camp. It's not the coach's fault.
Yeah, they struggled to get
a true evaluation.
Yeah, there was. I mean, I think it was the week before the season. I think it was. It wasn't like the days leading up to the season opener. I think it was the week before the season opener week, where there was like 4 days in a row where neither one of them played.
Yeah,
and they were working on special teams.
So, on the regular, and so it was load management. But the reality was, you know, those guys missed a lot of reps. And then when the McKenzie Milton thing happened, man, I really think that kind of screwed them over, where he came in at the end of that game and looked good. I think they felt like they had to start him the next week. And then
we'd have been covering a bowl this Saturday if they hadn't have done that.
And then Jordan gets hurt, and then it's just took 2 more weeks to get out of that tailspin.
What was the start of the question was they didn't get – like, I don't think Norvell's done in the portal, right?
I think
like,
the feeling is that they're basically anointing Jordan as the guy for this year. They're not bringing somebody to beat him.
They're content with A.J. Duffy coming in and then
I don't think they turn like Max Johnson, we don't want you, or so-and-so, we don't want you. Like, we're set here.
There's a feeling like that there wasn't a huge effort to bring in somebody that could beat him out.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. It's odd, too. Like, A&M's got – Jimbo's got that five-star that's still there, and now this kid's coming in. That's going to be an interesting quarterback competition, too.
I think their philosophy – this is just me talking. I don't know. My theory would be – that if they had somebody that could come in that they knew was a surefire, no doubt, big-time quarterback,
they would do it.
They would do it because they knew what that would do to Jordan. But if they're not sure, then it's not worth the risk. And I think maybe they weren't so sure about some of those guys.
Emory Jones is in the portal.
That's true.
Wouldn't bring him in.
What did you see in that last game?
That first quarter. He loves throwing FSU guys.
He would be prolific. Right in the chest.
Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
Gator Kirk writes, Happy Holidays, Three Wise Men. What one gift would each of you bring to FSU football this offseason?
An All-American receiver. That's to Jordan Travis as much as anyone.
I'll go with a healthy offensive line.
Yeah, no more surgeries. How about that? Yeah. Can we just go an offseason without surgeries?
Yeah, I would either add an offensive lineman or an elite linebacker.
Not a DN? Maybe a hybrid? Maybe a Sean Merriman hybrid?
Yeah, we're going to get a defensive end in the transfer portal. I have faith. But the linebacker, we about tired of watching that
game. It would be cool to have good linebackers.
Oh,
like, wouldn't that, like, I mean, just in general, just watching
exhausting
good linebackers.
Us,
yeah,
it like would that be. Kid from Notre Dame a couple years ago, number 6.
Yeah, just like, have a difference maker out there. Yeah.
Yeah, like when you watch the Cowboys and Micah Parsons is the best player on the field on
it's
every
fun
single
to watch
play.
A good linebacker.
Look at that guy. Look at that guy. He's in coverage 40 yards downfield. Now he's stopping the run on 4th and 1.
Those are fun.
Yeah, guys, really, really good.
They're out there. Let's go get one. Go get one, Norvell.
But a good receiver is a good answer, too.
All right. Alan writes, Merry Christmas, lads. FSU was the team of the 90s, appeared in many BCS championships, and crescendoed with 2013's final BCS championship. 2014, we are in the first college football playoff. Mm-hmm. Lose to Oregon. Do you feel that with the ever-changing environment of college football, the 2013-2014 was like the end of an era for FSU? It feels like the gap keeps widening for us. Norvell and company had their chance to show stability amongst the big three, and it appears they've all but lost that edge right now.
I don't know. I'd say that for sure yet. I mean, I do think Florida, by all accounts, seems to have made a good hire. I think Miami's made a good hire, but I don't know that, again, we know that that's sustainable, what they're doing down there. The money they're throwing at it in the short term, whether or not that's going to be there long term, they still have the problem of the stadium. They still have the problem of being a college team in a sports town that doesn't really care about it. So I'm not so sure about Miami. I do think Florida hired a good coach. I don't know. I don't know if I'd say it's an end of an era. The point we made so many times is it all turns around pretty quickly if you get the right quarterback, maybe a couple pieces in place.
Yeah. And the landscape in this sport is changing every second. So who knows will even be.
That's the part that I would bring up. Like, yeah. I do think that Florida State's 14, 15-year plus run of sheer dominance in college football is in the rearview, and the landscape has changed to a place where you're not going to see that again. But can Florida State rise up and have a run at a national championship? Yeah, especially because we don't know what the future holds as far as the rules go and everything else that's in play. The whole sport is in flux right now, and I think that leads to the kind of dissatisfaction you see both in the questions and then the responses that, for people who love college football, they feel like, what's going on? They're just screaming to the high heavens. Seth writes, good line. I appreciate you, Seth. Good linebacker play is a thing of beauty. Also, as the real linebacker, we need to get that segment back to what it should be. Thanks for the contribution, Seth. And also, yeah, man, it bothers me to watch a Florida State team that doesn't have good receivers and doesn't have good linebackers. I mean, this was a place where you thought, that's a given. They're always going to have that.
Yeah.
Well, they don't.
No, they didn't know that.
And they have not in some time.
Remember when I first came here, early 2000s, the the battle at linebacker, middle linebacker, was Jarrell Hudson versus Allen Augustin.
Okay.
Jarrell Hudson, who was weighing like 280.
Yeah.
And Allen Augustin, who was a walk-on. And I didn't understand why FSU fans were so frustrated about that situation.
Yeah, but then the next year, 2 years later, Ernie Sims was like a third stringer as a freshman. Like, they got some guys that could really play, and then that's just kind of fallen by the wayside. But, yeah, I don't know if I'd ever say Florida State was linebacker U. They're DBU. But, you know, Travis Hunter would have helped that. They have, but they're still. I still say they're DBU or PKU.
Right.
Because the place kickers.
A simple thanks for all the years of FSU sports fun and shenanigans. Merry Christmas to you three. Almost wise men. That from Kevin. Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks, Kevin. I'll take it. I'll take being almost wise.
Sean writes, I just wanted to tell all three of you that we appreciate your coverage of FSU football and recognize how hard the last 5 years have been.
Yeah.
Oh, sleepless nights for the three of us, buddy. I'm telling you right now.
It's a lot funner, a lot more fun to talk about a winning football team. We don't bicker as much.
What's that logo?
It's Travis Matthew. It's a golf. Yeah, it's a really nice golf brand. He's starting to get into the game.
I went to a store thinking I could buy a couple hoodies for myself. My mom wanted me to buy some stuff, and she'd pay me for it. That's how we do our Christmas. Yeah. I'm going to take them to her, and she's going to wrap them, though. Legitimately, seriously. She wants to do that. Yeah. This was the only one that wasn't like a fleece or huge or a vest. And I'm like, oh, I'll buy this.
I really want that. Actually.
And it was
$100. I can fit into that.
It was $100.
You think she would buy one for Jeff?
Yeah. Yeah. Think so? For sure. Yeah.
Can you put a word in?
Yeah, no, I'll text her right after the show. Do you want just this one? Or is it not going to be big enough?
But you need to ask her.
Okay,
let's get that. Because you're leaving town soon.
Yeah, I'll buy it.
We can go over together maybe later today.
Well, I don't want to be around you any more than I have to be.
I'll stand by the front door.
Okay, good.
I think you'd look good in that one.
I know I would. Yeah.
Jack.
Oh, yeah.
Swinging the club.
Yeah.
Yeah, forget about it. Yeah. Let's finish Sean's question. It hasn't been easy on any of us, and we appreciate you guys grinding it out and helping us get through this trying period. I think this quote by Winston Churchill best defines where we are with our football team. Now, this is not the end. It's not even the beginning of the end, but it is perhaps the end of the beginning. Hashtag the original elite headliner.
He is the original elite headliner. And, I'm a little more optimistic than Sean is. I think it's more than the beginning.
You think this is the end of the beginning?
I think it's further than the end of
the beginning. Let's begin
the begin. Yeah. This is the big
little REM. There you go.
Sure.
Thanks for the shirt. Sarah writes, what changes on the staff do we need to see? Wide receiver, linebacker, defensive end, running back, analyst? Question marks. She's not
settle
saying.
Settle down,
she,
Sarah.
No, but she's just that's question marks. She's asking. Who are the recruiters on this staff, and why are there not more good ones?
Sarah.
What returns did Ryan Bartow ever provide us?
Sarah's getting after it, which I like. I like that. But, I mean, again, if you take a step back and look at it from a pragmatic point of view.
Not done.
Oh, okay. All right.
Returns did Randy Shannon provide us?
Okay.
With the big misses in recruiting at key positions, linebacker, defensive end, wide receiver, why were there no Plan B recruits? Sarah's got concerns that I think echo the concerns of a lot of people. Those are not unfair questions.
But they had the number 12 class in the country.
And it also, but you also have to fill needs.
But sure, it also, but the, it but also, the portal, the but, portal helps.
Well, I was
going to
say, and then that becomes the question. Part. Is it? And that's why I asked Norvell, like on signing day, like I think they knew Mortimer was going to flip. So at that point, are you just signing the next best high school receiver you can get, or are you like, okay, let's go find some portal wide receivers? I mean, I think that's what they decided to do. And I think the same thing with defensive end. Yes, they wanted Marvin Jones, but I think they felt like as opposed to going out and scramble to get the next defensive end, they did get Dante Anderson, but maybe it's let's find out what's in the portal. So I think it's fair after what happened last year, what they did in the portal, to give them the benefit of doubt, and that it wasn't like, oh, they just threw up their hands. Wait a minute, we didn't get all these guys?
It's the way you look at recruiting now, right? You just can't look at it the way you did 10 years ago or
5 years
ago.
At least when you assess the totality of the class.
Well, number one, you've got
yes.
early signing period, so you still got 2 months, 6 weeks left
to
sign.
Early signing period,
it's ridiculous.
It's
all of it. Early signing period, transfer portal, NIL, all at once is a perfect storm of yuck.
Yes.
So you look at the early signing period and say, okay, well, they missed on some things. Well, they still got 6 weeks to get other guys. Plus, the portal is a brand new world.
I'm gonna give a little bit and also take a little bit here. I agree with you guys to an extent that there may have been a specifically defensive end where they thought, okay, we're not going to get Marvin Jones Jr. It looks like Alabama's going to pay more than we can. So
Georgia
or Georgia, wherever.
Yeah,
one of those.
You know, Georgia doesn't need to pay.
Yeah,
well, Georgia just sells itself.
Yeah,
the city. The
so whatever it might be, right? So I think that's true. I think they straight up whiffed at wide receiver, and
absolutely,
that's unfortunate.
Yes.
Now we'll see. Can they rectify a situation? Right. Because in the modern era, if you whiff, you do have a chance through the transfer portal to kind of save yourself. We'll see. It is a wait and see. I don't know that that was a plan at receiver. I'll buy it at defensive end. And it could just be that I'm wrong or right about both. We don't know.
You got a guy that's proven he can play. We don't know if he's a star.
That's where I agree with Ira in terms of, like, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
But her overall questions about the staff, I mean, I can't remember all the different people she wants to
fire. Well, they got rid of the linebackers coach. He went on to take a job at Virginia Tech.
Defensive coordinator at Virginia Tech.
Right, right.
The running backs coach is David Johnson. That's who she mentioned. David Johnson, he's recruiting. They like him.
They
he's
like
doing
him a
great.
Lot and for good reason.
I think – I can't remember who else she mentioned. What other positions?
Bartow.
And
Randy Shannon.
Well, I think they would have thought that we would have had more luck with the players down south because of those connections. And
I mean, they got some guys from South Florida. It wasn't a great year from South Florida prospects. They didn't get Marvin Jones.
No, they didn't. They got the more important of that family, though. I'm just saying. It was 30 years ago.
They didn't get Najala Kelly, who ended up going to Miami. And the Cristobal deal ended up in Wesley Bissain. The Cristobal going there was big for a few key guys in this class, no question, that they probably wouldn't have gotten if Manny was still the head coach.
Good wishes, men. In recruiting, I see an uptick in the number of legacies whose parents are my contemporaries, Marvin, Devin, Enzo, Lamont. I feel old. Oh, and I turn 50 tomorrow.
Nice.
Who was the first recruit that made you say, I'm not young anymore? Oh, man. Well, it happened in professional baseball before it happened anywhere else. When I saw Ken Griffey Jr., and I remember watching Ken Griffey Sr., and those two played together, and it's happened with a lot of players through the years, where as they came up, I thought, are you kidding me? Tony Gwynn Jr., all these guys? As we began to see those guys come up, I thought, well, this is crazy. And we're now on the verge of seeing Ken Griffey Jr.'s son be in the majors.
Oh,
and now I will have seen senior, junior, and junior, junior. I mean, like, that the second. I mean, that's insane.
Like, Andrew Jones' son is the number one high school player in the country in baseball. That kind of makes me feel old. But really, I guess Charlie Woods. Seeing a 12-year-old. Because I grew up with Tiger. I'm a contemporary. Yeah, we're the same age.
Yeah.
To see him have a 12-year-old out there doing that really does make me feel pretty old.
Florida State, though? Let's see. Maybe Derek Brooks' son coming here. I'm trying to think. Was there ever a guy that I was like, oh, man, that hurts?
Stanford Samuels III.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one, too.
That was shocking.
Yeah,
that's true. We used to see
him.
He's coming to practice.
You covered both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's yours for sure.
Yeah.
That's definitely Iris.
Nolan Oles writes, Merry Christmas, fellas. I'm actually very excited about our signing class, primarily the offensive line. Which lineman do you think make the biggest impact out of the group? I'll take the Wisconsin transfer.
Well, yeah, that's probably a smart bet.
That is the right bet.
Definitely early.
Because you don't want to have to play those other guys early.
Yeah, yeah. They've got those other guys, they've got size. I mean, Kayshon Sapp and Kaniah Charlton's like 350 pounds. I mean, he's got to lose some weight, but they've got some big dudes. It's not like,
lose that much
it's not like they bunch. I hear you. It's not like they signed a bunch of 270-pounders that they've got to – Andrew Dak goes that they got to bulk up.
Yeah. I like signing a 360-pounder and be like, okay, we know this kid likes to eat. And he, you know what I mean? Like, let's get him down to 325. But you look at Georgia and Alabama – not a lot of svelte dudes on those offensive lines. They're disgusting fat bodies that move people out of the way.
And have some muscle to them.
Yeah, well, they're not all fat. Yeah, right.
Todd wants to further my explanation of Gasparilla, Corey.
Mm.
He writes, love the show, gents. I heard you guys trying to explain what Gasparilla is to Corey. Corey, it's a huge pirate festival.
Right.
It goes up Bayshore Boulevard through downtown Tampa.
All right.
That's
what you need to know.
I said that anyhow. But then he goes on to say, they've had it for over 115 years. With the first floats being drawn by horses. It's a ton of fun, especially partying in the staging area before the parade with all the crews. I go most years. You should go, too. But since it's your first time, maybe you should do the Children's Pirate Parade the week before.
Ooh.
He gave you a link. He wanted to let you know you could go over there.
You know how they spell crew?
Yeah.
Did you say cruise?
Yeah.
No.
K-R-E-W-E-S. You didn't know that.
No, I didn't.
Well, there was a coup de grace that used to be here.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, I was half listening. But I will say.
Yeah, that's typical.
I feel like if it's a pirate parade, what are you doing on land? You've got a bay right there. Yeah, get those horse-drawn.
There are plenty of people in the water, too. But what we're saying is these floats are like ships.
Why not just do ships?
They
do. It's a pirate parade.
You people can't walk on water, Corey. We're trying to have some fun while we're walking around.
You're
here.
Out. You're you're watching from the bridge.
But just going all the way downtown, you don't always have access to the water in that situation.
How about like flooding the streets with water?
Oh, and like then the Coliseum?
Bringing real boats.
You guys want lions?
That's what Corey wants.
I mean, it wouldn't be great for the horses. But, so 1906, the planners are like, you know what? Let's get some horses to draw these, just drag these floats through the streets.
Yeah, and let's party.
Wouldn't somebody be we've got water right there. Why don't we just use the ships we have because we're celebrating pirates anyway?
I think they did,
but
that's very limited space there, man. Hundreds of thousands of people show up to this thing. They can't all be on the water.
They're throwing beads from the boats in the ocean. Like, it's all going to pollute the water.
You could reach them.
You've seen the recent Super Bowl celebration and the Stanley Cup celebration.
Yeah, I thought it was on the water.
Tampa wins every year or something. You've seen all those celebrations. They do that on the water, but there are considerably fewer people in that situation.
Are we going to get a drunk Tom Brady celebrating this year?
I don't think so.
Man, that was rough on Sunday, buddy.
There are some injury-riddled bunch right there. That's what we shall see.
I like Antonio Brown yesterday on Twitter is like, hey, y'all want me back now?
Yeah.
Jazz.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV. How you doing there, podcasters? Good. Good to hear it. Listen, if you're wondering for a good place to eat, watch a game, have a cold beer, enjoy a lot of choices, we suggest Horizons Bar and Grill.
Maybe even run into us. See us.
You and I especially.
Yes.
I'm there once a week, I think. When I'm in town, I'm there. Stephanie and I are there. Great place. Cold beer, hot women, everything you want in a I probably shouldn't have said that.
No, it's okay.
Hot beer and cold women.
Whatever you're into.
I like the good-looking ladies, too. That's sure, all right. But even if that's not your thing, I'll be there. I'm a good-looking guy.
And we would all agree, great food. Legitimately
good food.
The
most important part of this ad is the great food.
It's great food. They got TV, sports bar. They got the vibe, but beer, food, everything you could want. And most importantly, again, other than the food, is that there is at least, I'd say, a 35% chance one of us would be there.
And you get the mac and cheese bites.
And you can get those shrimp tacos, which are the king. You've gotten healthy on me lately.
I eat the hummus.
Who eats really that? Good. He does. At Horizons Bar and Grill.
I didn't know I like hummus. Maybe I don't, but Horizons got some great hummus.
But you look for them on their website. You can see their happy hour specials. Just a great place to hang out. And it's if you want to like a little upscale dinner, you can go in there for that as well. It's at Bannerman Crossing at the... right off of Thomasville Road and Bannerman up there on the Northeast Tallahassee.
Tell them Headlines sent you.
Well, the important thing is support the people who help support Seminole Headlines. That's Horizons Bar and Grill. And thanks for listening to the podcast.
Woo!
Seminole Headlines is brought to you by Register Sausage, serving the Florida Panhandle and Lower Alabama for over 75 years. To find a store near you or to buy directly from Registers, head to registermeats.com. That's registermeats.com.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
Jamie writes, Merry Christmas to everyone at War Chant. Having been a Seminole since the early days of Coach Bowden, I've seen a lot of can't-miss top recruits. Well, quite simply, miss. Mm. And then he names several, including Myron Roll, who I would have been the first to name. Just to name a few. All good players, and in life, Roll certainly did not miss. But perhaps we may not have lost all that much, and Hunter, we just don't know. At this point in our program, we need players that are sold on our great university and bringing our program back to respectability and not necessarily, hey, look at me, guys. I would much rather have a 3- or 4-star of the players that play hard than a 5-star worried about his NIL deal. Not me. Perhaps this is an antiquated thought, but football is still football. It is and it isn't, Jamie, but I appreciate the honesty. Yeah, I get the larger point you're making there, that you want people who come here to be here, the people who
Well, that's why he seemed like that guy. Like for two years he talked about how much he loved Florida State, and he wasn't wavering, and he was stayed firm until the day of the ceremony. That's why it was such a gut punch, I think.
Yeah, and I hate to go in absolutes. I don't think it's all, because we spent a lot of time in the first hour of the show talking about what's become of college football and how kids don't necessarily care about the schools the way you think that they do. That a lot of times it is a mercenary decision. It's not one way or the other. There are plenty of kids who are
gray area.
I mean, Amari Gaynor came to Florida State because his dad played at Florida State. He grew up in Tallahassee. He wanted to go to Florida State. He loves Florida State. He's come back for his senior year. There are other kids who have different motivations.
Gentlemen, as you record this, it's live, by the way, Michael.
Mm.
I'm 35,000 feet in the air, headed to Fargo. In honor of that, my question is simple. If you had to put this entire roster in a wood chipper but could save five guys, who would they be?
Okay, well, let's not.
I mean, he's talking figuratively. The piece of paper, like we're just putting their names on paper.
Right? Yeah, actually, we're not actually putting their bodies in a wood chipper.
Five players. If you were picking five players
that you had to keep from the wood chipper,
Jamie Robinson.
Yep.
I mean, Jordan Travis.
Yep.
Is
Fabian Lovett coming back? Because if he is, that's one.
Fabian Lovett for now, sure.
Yeah. Yep. Put him up there.
Dylan Gibbons, I dare say.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a weird. It's a tough one. What's weird about the quandary is: are you saying these are five guys you would want no matter what? Like if you're just starting from scratch, or these are five because the most valuable of this current.
Well,
team.
You're keeping them around. They're the best players on this current incarnation of the team.
Because I mean, there have been times where there were players like you would have kept them in no matter what. Like no matter what else is out there.
Yeah,
you're keeping
over anybody.
You're
else.
Keeping Cam Akers. You're keeping Dalvin Cook. Right.
No, there aren't too many of those guys on this team.
No.
That's for sure.
And I don't know. Do you go Knowles? Do you go Cooper? Do you go Trayshon Ward? You know,
I'm leaning towards Knowles in that trio.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I like Trayshon Ward.
You don't want to throw him into a wood chipper?
I don't.
Okay.
But I love the Fargo reference. It's funny.
It was very good. That is funny.
Hey, Spencer writes over under 2.5 more years for Coach Norvell.
Over.
I'm going to say over.
I'll go over. But we had to think about it a little bit.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's certainly a possibility it doesn't happen.
Ian writes, I'm ready to start making NFTs, no football tokens, to help the program get ahead. Does FSU have an innovation lab I can partner with? Let's get creative.
I mean, I know I'm old. I'm not as old as you two, thank God, and I never will be.
Yes, you will.
I have no idea what – I don't understand NFTs at all. I don't know what the allure of them is. And I'm okay not knowing. You know what I mean? Like my parents were about some stuff. I'm like, you know, I'm not going to look into it. I just don't care. Brady, if he gets involved in it somehow, he can try to explain it to me. But otherwise, it's fine. I'll just live my life. I don't know who Dua Lipa is either. I know it's an artist that
I'm much more comfortable not caring about Dua Lipa than NFTs. NFTs will matter maybe in your lifetime. Dua Lipa never will.
She's got some bops.
She's got some bangers.
We call them bops in our house.
Oh, okay. I call them bangers, but I'm from the past.
Can you?
She got some jams.
I'm going to get in trouble for this, so we'll move it along.
Good. Good. Hey, nice.
You like that?
On yourself there.
You like
nice
what
filter.
I did there? I tried to.
I don't know, man. Mackenzie Milton tried to start some NFTs. I don't think they got a lot of traction. So, I mean, it is what it is. I don't know that coming up with NFTs is going to be the answer to their. To their financial woes.
Can we do NFTs?
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, we could do an NFT.
Headlines NFT.
Yeah, all right.
I think that would be huge, and we should do it.
Right.
And you know, a lot of people, I don't know if you read this story, but this guy came up with an NFT who works for the New York Times.
I told you, I don't even know what an NFT is.
Non-fungible token. So anyhow, what he ended up doing.
Never mind. I know it now. I got it. So
listen, what he ended up doing was coming up with an NFT because he was doing a story on NFTs to try to educate people what the hell they were because he didn't know either. So he went into the path to figure this out. And he created one for the New York Times. And it was the first of its kind. And he did it kind of as a joke. And when he went to his editors and his bosses, he said, well, you know, let's say this makes a little bit of money. Am I allowed to keep it? What are we doing with it? And they're like, well, we'll donate it to charity. Yeah, it ended up making millions, and he got none of it because it was the first of its kind. So it was kind of interesting. They were able to raise a lot of money for charity. But imagine you're that guy. You got screwed out of money.
Also, he's not a professional athlete. Like, I know he works for the New York Times,
but
he's,
anything
not,
that is unique,
he's not rich.
No, but anything that's truly unique, right? So
I just feel like he got screwed out of a lot of money.
I think he did too, but
it probably wasn't his in the first place. It wasn't like It wasn't like the NFT was of like his first, you know,
whatever yeah, story
was,
published. Or something.
Are there FTs? Can you have a fungible token?
Sure. But really quickly,
corner of the market.
I think we should do one for Seminole Headlines. And unlike a lot of people who do this, where they ask, you know, they curate support and they ask their fans or listeners or supporters of any kind. To donate and bid on it, we'll keep the money. I don't want to give any of it to charity. I want us to split it.
Well, absolutely. I
mean,
didn't
I'm
know
just
that was
I'm
on
getting
the
out in
table.
Front of this IRA before we get screwed like the New York Times guy did. I want
to
make sure
just
we
to
get
clarify,
our money.
We're keeping it. Third, a third, a third. Right.
Now we may do good things with it.
Yeah, but it's coming to us for it's our
hard earned NFT.
Yeah, we get to do what we want with it. It's our right.
Which is split it.
Have you done Twitter questions yet?
Oh yeah, I've printed out. The Facebook questions here and the Twitter questions
are
here.
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry.
Machine over here.
I didn't know. I was excited. I was excited that you just had all those Facebook questions.
We've only got like two more to go, and we only have one more segment to go, and we're going to break right now. We'll come back and answer those questions. We're done. Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schoffel, and Corey Clark.
As we get set to wrap it up, we wish you all happy holidays, of course. Hope you and your loved ones are safe and have a good one. And
healthy.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah.
That's a big one. You got a gift that you're excited to receive this year that you know you're getting?
Well, that just, but you were playing the Andy Dick cameo that we got years ago from a great listener.
Yeah, the Murph.
Should we get on Cameo? You think what do you think we could
as charge? Seminole Headlines, the three of us, so every time
what do you think we could charge, like $10?
For Cameo? What would it be? I mean, 20 cents?
I feel like we start out like $250, $300, and then just
the market will tell us what it's worth. Whittle the bear?
Yeah, exactly right. But, I don't think I'm getting really any gifts. Stephanie said she got me something cool.
Isn't it funny? It's cool. No matter how old you, I mean, once you reach a certain age, you really don't care if you get anything at Christmas.
My middle daughter, Alexa, asks me like like three times a day, what do you want for Christmas? What do you want for Christmas? So I just started making stuff up.
Like, no, nice.
Like shoelaces.
T-shirts.
Yeah.
Socks.
NFTs. Tell her you want some NFTs.
Kevin says that he's going to get Corey a Jordan Travis cameo.
He does.
That would be funny.
Well played, Kevin. Well played.
I guess they can do that, right?
He just got on Cameo.
No, I was going to say, I didn't even think about that. Yeah, I guess players can do that. That's a nice money for them.
Get Down or Lay Down says, I want a cameo from you guys. You got to go hard on my message, though.
All right. Yeah, well, we'll try.
We'll try.
Yeah. All right, that's something to think about. You got a Patreon account.
Who's going
to
organize $7 a month for the three of us?
Yeah.
which of this trio is going to organize that endeavor?
Yeah, I would say
me.
We need a cameo. Yeah, because I do the Facebook. I've kept that going throughout.
A champ.
Yeah. Even what Facebook has now become, I still stay through it.
People still stick on Facebook?
Yeah, I guess. I don't go on there except for that to solicit questions. So I feel like I'll start up a cameo. It'd be great for the holidays.
Also, a nice new hat. What's going on over here, Corey?
Same part. I actually bought it exactly right next to this. Do you see what it says?
Yeah, it says Bushwood.
I was in 1980 Caddy Championship. So funny hat. It's a good hat. Yeah.
I mean, this whole thing, you got a lot going on.
Ira, look, some people buy new clothes.
You would think that you played golf.
I know. I look like it. Don't you got to look the part. But I hate golf and I'm terrible at it. But I like to dress like
it. You don't hate it. You watch it.
You're right. I shouldn't say that. I hate playing it because I'm terrible at it.
Yeah. Another hyperbole moment.
Well, that's what I do.
He wanted to say F you. You can see it.
It's fine.
Yeah, he wanted to say it.
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
Apparently he can.
No.
Yeah, yeah. No. You guys are cussing up the storm.
No. He was the problem today.
Dropping an A-bomb. You dropped a B-bomb.
Let's not draw attention to things.
Sorry. Is that what's the – they can't fine us for that.
They could. The station could get fined.
If they get complaints.
Yeah.
Guys, just be cool.
Yeah, don't be
cool. Be cool, man. Just be cool.
Come on,
please,
honey, buddy.
It's Christmas.
Everybody chill out.
It's Christmas.
Yeah. We don't want to be fined. Or
all a bunch of Fozzies here.
We would flee. We'd run for the hills, pretend like we never worked here.
What, if we got fined?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That'd be the end of that. We wouldn't do it. Get Corey a Dylan Gibbons cameo.
Yeah, we could do that too. Look,
They want the Gibbons cameo to read, "Go to hell, Corey. I'm better than you ever dreamed." That's what they want. That would actually be a really funny cameo.
That would be funny, yeah. I assume he's on there, too. I assume they're all on there.
So I would get Tom one from the receiver that hasn't done anything forever that he's been on, that he loves here.
Here? Like
Jordan, or what's his name?
Oh, Jordan Young?
Yeah, he's terrible.
Look, he just hasn't tapped into the potential yet. Let's not call him terrible.
In 6 years, he hasn't found a way to tap in.
Yeah.
Tom loved him from day one. I've been like, anytime now, Tom.
Is Dion on cameo? We could get Jeff a Dion cameo.
Don't even start.
Okay.
Sorry. Don't even start. And it has nothing to do with anything.
I got you. It has a little bit to do with happened.
How long ago did I?
Oh, you've been on that train for a while. But that
long
was a
long time.
That was something. What a day. What a day that was.
You know,
and it wasn't, you know, Ed Reed doing it.
No.
It was Dion.
Hey, my favorite part is, so for whatever reason, and this is just us sitting around the campfire BSing.
Okay, we are on air, though, with people watching.
Absolutely.
Okay.
The number of people that are watching has increased in the last 5 minutes of this show than at any point during the broadcast.
Just talking about me getting cameos from Dylan
Gibbons? Well, no, just shooting the breeze here.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Everybody's like, oh, they're on. Maybe they just now realized it. Marvin Jones Jr., I feel like our one strong point has been our defensive line, yet we can't get one of the most decorated alums off spring to ever play. Yeah, Jaron, man, I'm sorry.
Picked
sorry.
A bad year for him to come out with the NIL. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think if he comes out 2 years ago, maybe it doesn't work out that way.
You think?
This is my theory.
Yeah. Again, though, like, did you really miss him? Let's see where he is a year or two from now. That portal opens up everything. You got to recruit the only guys
on
your team.
It is funny
now
to watch coaches just have to say glowing things, even about kids that, even indirectly, even about kids that shun them on a very yeah. important day. It's like, well, great kid, made the best decision for himself. Wish him nothing but the best. You know, inside yeah. they're like, okay, all right, man. Just, you know, especially given the amount of time. I would struggle with this. This is why, listen, none of us feel sorry for coaches because they make a gazillion dollars.
Yes, correct.
But, man, that's I would really struggle with that. That would be a toughie.
There were some guys in that meeting when we went and interviewed all the coaches on signing day. There were some guys who were trying to process some stuff. You could tell. I mean, they were.
I thought the first 5 minutes of Norvell's presser was him processing
about
some stuff.
8-9 minutes.
Maybe 9 minutes. Yeah.
Just speed reading. Through,
I wanted
the
to
tears.
Give a hug. Be like, whoa, hey, slow down, man. We should have delayed this press conference.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is,
look a little shook.
It was a tough situation because you do want to communicate the fact that it's a good class. There's a lot of really good players. It's the best class Florida State's had in the last few years.
Yeah.
There's some
yeah,
really good players.
You do want to communicate that at the same time.
Yeah. And you can't address the fact that you're pissed off at this kid who bailed for Jackson.
Hey, happy holidays, Director Matthew. Thank you so much, as always.
Good work in there, buddy.
Happy holidays to all of you. For Corey, for Ira, I'm Jeff. We'll be back with you in the new year. Take care, everybody. Be well.
We love you.